Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
And when I need it in the morning, in the middle of the night, I ain't too proud to beg. No, that song has been stuck in my head.
Yes.
I miss TLC.
R.I.P. But that was a good documentary. I had met Chili. I went to the screening of it. And she was so sweet that I had to leave early. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm walking out in the middle and I have to walk past the stage. And she's like, you got to leave? And I was like, yeah. She was like, but did you have a question? And she like stopped everything to let me ask a question. She's so sweet.
She's beautiful.
She's literally beautiful because she like really is a beautiful person inside and out. I love
her. You can tell. Well, welcome everybody back to We Watch Too Much TV.
And TLC.
Yes. Yeah. Boom. Episode title. Let's go.
What about your friend?
Huh? Will they stand around? Will they be around? Yeah. Why were we never TLC for Halloween? We should revisit that.
Because we can never find a third loyal member.
One episode will go into our lives and be a best friend.
Our rotation of the third friend has been going on for about 20 years. We always find
a third person, and they don't work out.
They don't last longer than like 2 to 3 years. It's literally at this point, it's like a bad luck thing. I think we should just stop adding a third.
We're going to be like T-Boz and Chili. Remember they kept trying to replace Left Eye and it was like, remember little mama had a desk and I was like, no. So that's it. We're just T-Boz and Chili.
Yeah. The only thing that's going to happen is like when Tanea gets married, then that'll be our fourth. Cause when we have our spouses, we are like a quartet. We've done that.
But how are you, best friend? How is it going?
It's going well. I am busy AF, not gonna lie, but in all the right ways. Like, you know, career is careering and mama is getting busy, okay? Because I gotta get to the coin, I gotta get to the bag, and I gotta get to the dreams and goals. And the only way to do that is to do the work.
Work.
Yes, but sleep is amazing. How about you, best friend?
I am good. I just bought an exercise bike, y'all. It's like the highlight of my life.
Did you get the Peloton?
No, I got the Outfit, the $100 version of the $1,300 bike.
There we go.
And it's even better because it bends. So it's
and you
small.
Don't need that TV because you could watch TV.
Hello. That's how I watch my show. So our podcast, I get on my bike. And right. I put it on and I don't even notice I'm on the bike for an hour because I'm watching TV. And speaking of TV, I've been watching a lot of it.
So let's get into our weekly grab. So what's first on your list?
Okay, the best new show out. Please, everybody, if you need a good laugh and a different type of reality show, please watch Stars on Mars. The first episode just came on yesterday.
What's it on?
It is on Fox if you're looking for the channel. They take the most randomest celebrities and put them in a real life space kind of like experiment where it's like they're on Mars. They eat like it's on Mars. They made some type of replica somewhere in Hollywood. They have everybody from Lance Armstrong, because somebody thinks he's Neil Armstrong, the actual dead astronaut. They have Tinashe, Portia from The Real Housewives. They have Tom Schwartz, who literally did this right after Scandoval. Wow. They have Ronda Rousey. They have McLovin.
Okay.
It's just like
12. Is it like a challenge where someone wins? Or
yeah, it's a challenge. Basically, they have different things to do every week that'll replicate what you would do if you were actually on Mars in space. And they have like a leader and an assistant. And then those two people kind of go give the directions of like what they have to do for the day. And then based on the challenge, they have to pick the one person who was not mission critical, who didn't help at all. And that's the person that goes home. So every week somebody goes home, but they have real spacesuits. They're living in real bed bunks. They have the real like limitation of food where they can't eat whatever they want. So it is like a real life Mars expedition. And William Shatner is the host. It's funny. It's different. My man, Marshawn Lynch, who is made for television, is on this show, and I hope he stays. They have to keep him. He is the funniest thing ever. He is comic relief. He keep calling Lance Armstrong Louis Armstrong. He was like, all you do is fucking run on a bike. You ain't no athlete. Like, it's just Marshawn Lynch makes my life. You need something to laugh. And I just like the difference in the like audience. Like, you have Tinashe asking Portia about her ring. And, you know, Tinashe doesn't really seem like she's into housewives. So she's like, oh, that's your ring. It's dope. How many kids do you have? Portia's like, well, I have one, but my husband has 5 stepkids. Tinashe said, with that ring, I'd be a stepmama to 5 kids because that looks like he has money. Right. But it's interesting to see people get along to actually do these hard things. It's not just like a regular competition series and every week they get a badge. So I'm excited. They showed like a preview of the season. People crying, people not getting along, people fighting a little bit. So I just love how random the cast is. And yeah, I'm really excited for the show. So Stars on Mars, I think it's a hit.
It sounds funny. I'm not sure how I'll check it out, though, because, you know, when you're a streamer, I don't really know.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, it's on Hulu. Okay.
Good. It's on Hulu. Everything on Fox goes on Hulu the next day. So you could get it right on Hulu.
Okay. So I will catch it and I will add my take next week.
Yes.
But speaking of Tom Schwartz, I mean, I don't really have anything to say about Tom Schwartz, but it's going into my first weekly grab, which is the most recent episode, well, part 2 of the Vanderpump Rules reunion. We are going into this explosive third final episode where Rachel makes her confession or whatever. But just from this episode 2, like, now you're starting to see Tom Sandoval crumble when he said that nasty comment about Lala. And again, y'all know I do not like Lala. I will like hardly ever defend Lala. But him coming out of nowhere and just blurting and saying that she ran like she was in a rush to take out her IUD as soon as she knew Stassi got pregnant. And if you see when he says it for like no reason other than like trying to make it as a clapback. And it's like, whoa, what the hell? Like, who says that? But again, the person who would say that is a monster that would cheat on their girlfriend of 10 years and somehow make it her fault.
Thing is, does he not know how an IUD works? You can't just rip it out, sir.
He basically was saying that only reason Lala took out her IUD was when Stassi got pregnant. So it was like she was in a competition to join Stassi and get pregnant. Mm. And it was just like a really low down comment to make. Then he goes hard demanding a break from filming so he could talk to Raquel privately. And it's like, why are you in such a hurry to try to talk to Raquel privately? What is it? Because you know she's dumb. So what is it that you need to try to brief her on before she comes out and faces the crowd? Like, that was just like a red flag, but it's also just showing, you know, now that the veil has lifted, like, we can see Tom Sandoval for who he truly is. I know last week you were asking, like, you know, why did we not see it before? Because he was doing a good job at hiding it, and it was easier to hide it because we had worse villains like Jax.
Got it.
So now with Jax gone, with Kristen gone, you know, like, these are all a hot mess people, you know, but it's like, and then again, you have Lala and James Kennedy, they're still being themselves, but they didn't have a damn cheating scandal. So it's like all eyes are on Sandoval. And now we're able to really see like, oh, damn, Sandoval, you suck. You ain't, you know? But when it comes to Lala, her, like, she did this whole little victim spiel of how she, you know, like, she, you know, she's acting like a victim when it comes to her ex-fiance, Randall Emmett.
Right.
And I love how production is pulling the receipts to show, like, girl, you were very complicit with being a mistress when y'all started dating 5-6 years ago. I can vividly remember her bragging about it. So when they re-brought the footage up, I was like, yes, that's exactly what she said. She was bragging about giving him BJs and getting a new car and flying on his private jet. She refers to it as a PJ. She was bragging and boasting about all these things. And she would call him her man because she couldn't say his name on the show at the time because he was still legally married to Amber Childers, who was on the show Netflix You. And so now for her to now be acting all like this holier than thou person and you want to be quick to judge Raquel, like, girl, sit y'all cheating at. All of y'all cheaters, literally.
Yep, that's what Andy said. That's someone who's never watched the show. The cast
is a cheater, probably minus Katie Maloney. But I'm not going to sit here and act like Katie Maloney hasn't been a bitch, because she has. But still, everybody's cheated. Nobody on that show is a saint. No one. So I'm excited to see this last episode of it. I do think that this scandal has really revived Vanderpump Rules and made me excited for the next season. I'm hearing inklings that Jax and Brittany could be returning, which could be really, really good for the show because Jax is a hot mess. He's never been one to bite his tongue, and he's very narcissistic. So he, as all of them are, but Jax really goes hard. Like his signature line, I'm the number one guy. He really said that when he felt like they were, like the two Toms were trying to leave him out. And he's like, but I'm the number one guy. He said that before. He referred to Vanderpump Rules as his show, not Lisa Vanderpump's. It's his show. He said this before. So you got to think, this bringing this nutcase back with all the stuff that's gone on, things that where he was proven right, especially as it relates to Tom and Ariana, I know Jax is going to come back with a vengeance. And then we have Jax as a father now. So he's going to be trying to act like he's above things because he's a father, but he's really not at all. And I would be excited for that. So yes, I'm here for Vanderpump Rules return because this scandal ball really reignited the juice back into the show that was dying.
I can't wait till next week until we find out this secret, because I know that's the first thing you're going to talk about is whatever this secret is.
Yep, we're going to get into it because this girl's a hot mess. Like, I can't believe how you can see, like, she is emotionless. But I really think, like, there's something off with her. Mm. Like, she's, like, kind of off. You can see it in her eyes. She just doesn't get it. Like, truthfully. Mm. And then you see, like, more James is off. James, we've always noticed James is off. So the two of them together, they made it 5 years. I could just imagine what their conversations off camera were like, what the hell are you guys talking about? But freaking deers, Bambies, and James is just all over the place type of person. He kept getting up during the reunion to go pee. Everybody thinks he was doing something else, but.
Ooh, I agree. I mean, his behavior
has always been sus. From his inception on the show, his behavior has always been suspect. So now seeing the veil lifted on Raquel, it's just like, how the hell were y'all even together for 5 years? Lord Jesus. And praying for my girl, Allie, who's dating James now. Because girl.
She seems very nice. Just from the reunion. Because like I said, guys, I've never watched the show. But from the reunion, she seems nice. And like, hopefully she can be the calm to his storm.
I don't know. James really is a piece of work. And I don't know. But we'll see. What is next on your weekly grab, bestie?
So next, speaking and starting with the lovely group TLC, of course, I watched their documentary, TLC Forever. Now, of course, I've watched their movie when they had it with Kiki Palmer and Drew Sidora and Left Eye. But the documentary, I'm a documentaries girl. It was so beautiful. One, I just really want to give love to T-Boz because you have no idea what she goes through every day to still be bussing and moving. I think we knew she had sickle cell. We knew she was sick, but she has to do like transfusions and energy and IV just to get on stage for an hour. So I just want to send her love and just like that portion of it. But I love that to me, it was, what really hit me was Chili talking about like, no, we don't have the number one song on a country. I mean, on a charts right now, but all of our tours are sold out. And that's how you can tell that's a sure, sure sign that you're a successful group. Mm-hmm. And then Mimi Valdez from Vibe Magazine talking about, do you remember that infamous cover? Cause I remember it. I remember being in like middle school, elementary school, and my older cousin Taya brought it home and was like, look at TLC. Because this is right after Lisa done burned down the house.
Right.
And Bob didn't even ask them. They walked into the door and they was like, you could be police or you could be firefighters, which is kind of not right if you don't ask for permission. But this is the 90s. And they were like, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And she said that was one of the most highest selling magazine covers of all time. So I just really like hearing their story. I went on Spotify. I went TLC crazy. Yeah. I learned things that I didn't know. I love learning about like their history and their background. And I'm just team TLC for life. So now I'm going to wait till they come to like New York, New Jersey, and I'm going to see them on tour because
yeah,
I really like them. And it was just a good documentary. I love that it wasn't two parts. I would love that it wasn't 5 hours. It was a good 1 hour, 45 minutes. That's what we need. And I heard they're working on a musical, so I would be very, very excited to see that as well.
Yeah, they did a lot of laying of the foundation to carry their legacy on forever. You know, music carries on legacies, and I completely understand why, you know, they kind of really started to bow out after Left Eye passed away. One of my favorite TLC songs is still Girl Talk, even though, you know, but Left Eye was on that song. That was kind of one of the last ones that they did together. But yeah, it's just such a sad story, but it's still, it's like a bittersweet because there's still two members here and you can still give them their flowers and support them and definitely stream their music. Cause it's like, I think more when these movies come out and the documentaries come out, it's just the reminder of how legendary TLC is. Like what they did was first. Like a lot of people, and sometimes I even think the documentaries and films don't do it justice because you had to be there to know, like, TLC was it. Like,
listen,
they were the number one group. I was a little girl. I just remember, like, you know, like Tanea said, with her older cousin. I remember with my older sister, like, the teenagers of the time was obsessed with TLC. And then they were representing women in new ways. Like just kind of bold and confident and just kind of tackling conversations around sex and individuality that you hadn't seen women do before. And then you got three of them doing it like, well, one's a rapper, but they're singing. It's like, it's just real different.
And then in an age where women were being told, be sexy, wear dresses, right, be naked. Right. They said, no, none of our clothes are going to fit. That's not us. And during the height of the AIDS epidemic, where so many young people were dying, they were like, we're not going to shy away from this. We're going to wear condoms. We're going to make a statement. And they did all of that and they was broke.
Yeah.
So like,
and that's really why you gotta go stream them. I don't think anyone has had like a bigger comeback than No Scrubs.
Like,
you got to remember they had taken a little break from Crazy Sexy Cool came out in 94 and No Scrubs came out in 99. I mean, fan mail came out in 99. So that was what, 5 years off. And so they came back like, bam, No Scrubs, bam. Grammy winning, like crazy performances at award shows. So it was just like, really put their stamp on the map, like that they are an iconic group. So respect the icons. Shout out to TLC.
Yes, I will be streaming you guys all day. What's next on your weekly rap, best friend?
Mine is very, very short. It's Summer House. Their reunion wrapped up. I think they did, it was like two-part, three-part, very unnecessary. Could have just been one part. My take is just that this show is over. It needs to either go on hiatus and then be rebooted with entirely new cast or just axe it completely and just focus on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard until eventually you could reboot Summer House or, you know, figure that out. But it's done. This cast is done. There's no more storyline there. They're all just kind of picking at Lindsay. Even with the newbies, I just don't think that they have the juice to carry the show and bring it back to its glory days. Like, you got to think, like, what we're seeing on Summer House Martha's Vineyard, that's what it was when the Summer House Whitey Whites first started 7 seasons ago. Like, it was friends coming together in the Hamptons and having fun. So it was new, it was fresh, so it was more organic. Now, a lot of them are in relationships. People done got married. They're getting married. People aren't friends anymore. And then they constantly rotate with a couple of new faces that, to me, just don't really deliver. They're very boring, the newbies they kind of bring in. So I just think that this show is done and they need to wrap it up and reboot it. Cause yeah. And they can keep these ones coming because they do the Winter House spinoff, which is shorter, and they just go to Vermont and kind of basically do the same thing. So I am invested in these characters and I think they can just come back for Winter House, But
is it the same cast? I just go to different houses and different,
basically. Like,
okay.
They've started to incorporate other Bravo celebrities into Winter House. So they had both Toms last season. People were saying they should have had Martha's Vineyard cast come, but I guess they didn't want to do that too soon yet, but they need to. Because now it just looks like, okay, here's our white cast and here's our black cast. It's like, can you guys kind of bring them together? But pretty much, I just think Summer House, the white one, the whitey white one is done. That's my take.
Summer House, the whitey white one.
The whitey white one. Is done. Yes.
I agree. No, I don't know. I've never watched the show.
Right. Sinead has not watched one episode.
Not one. I won't. I'm sorry. Vanderpump Rules, I got into it because you kept talking about it and it was everywhere. So now I'm like only going to watch the reunion, but I'll probably never watch a season. But this is why I have you, because you'll just tell me all about it. Last on my weekly grab is another docuseries, not like a one-time thing, but it's going to have a couple episodes. It's called Shiny Happy People. Mm-hmm. It's the true story of the IBLP cult in like the white town of Utah. And it kind of ties into the Duggar family. If you guys have heard of 19 and Counting, the family that had 19 kids and thought it was God's will to keep having these babies. So I never really cared about the family until the oldest son went to jail for child pornography, because I just thought that it was so crazy that his father was like running for Senate and talking about church, 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 church. Meanwhile, your son is abusing his sisters. Horrible. Mm-hmm. So it goes into the actual religion. The main person who found it, some guy named Bill Gothard, he basically believed that multiplying is going to get you closer to God. So all the people who were in this church have more than 7-8 kids. It goes into, they only speak to one of the actual 19 kids. She's married. She wants something to do with the family. You can tell it's still really emotional for her. But I just, it always is interesting to me when you see things on reality TV and how it comes to be. It kind of started the whole TLC, Discovery Health, like Pimple Popping, 90 Day Fiance, Sister Wife stuff. They were the first show, because Discovery Health used to be about like actual hospital stuff. Somebody was amazed that this one guy had 17 kids, and it transformed like the Discovery Plus we know and TLC to what it is now. And I just pray for those little girls. I pray for that entire family. That mom is being brainwashed. They are definitely in a cult, and it's only been episode one, but I just love learning about crazy shit like this. I'm always interested in like,
you say
what makes people join a cult? Yes. I love cult shows and like,
yes.
What makes you say, you know what? I'm going to do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
No matter. Weird. It's very weird to me, but it's also very interesting. So if you like cults, if you like just something opposite from TLC that's not going to make you feel all lovey inside, watch Shiny Happy People, because you learn a lot that you don't see on the show.
Wow. And what's it on?
Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon, you have Amazon Prime, because it's together.
Okay. Well, from that disturbing take, back to my reality television, because that's all I've watched since our last.
I'm talking about cult. Well, she's actually, like, well, back to reality.
Mark and I did watch White Men Can't Jump last night, and it's horrible, so I didn't even want to add it.
I fell asleep on it.
Yeah, exactly. It was that bad.
And I want to watch it, but I fell asleep.
The last movie I did watch that was good, I saw that new Scream on Paramount Plus since I reactivated my account to watch Drag Race. And I watched The Mother on Netflix. I watched that on Mother's Day with J-Lo. It was actually pretty good. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. But on to what I did watch this past week. It was Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, as I was just singing its praises when I was dragging the Whitey White Summer House. So, you know, I really enjoyed this show. We saw the buildup to Bria getting called out for kind of manipulating finessing her German boyfriend coming to the house and staying the entire last week of their trip. But Simon shows up from Germany, and he comes correct. He comes with a variety of Philip Klein. Am I saying it right? Philip Klein?
Yeah.
Philip Klein watches, Versace watches for the whole group. a bottle of, I can't even remember, expensive ass alcohol.
Something that they don't sell at the liquor store.
Right, right. And it just shut everybody up, especially the Coopers, who were the ones trying to not get signed, you know, try to ban Simon from coming. So Simon comes correct. You could see why Bria is with his rich ass, because if he came like that, you could imagine the things that she's getting. Seems like a cool guy too. Then we also get to see a little bit more about how controlling the Coopers are.
Yeah, and how loud their sex is. The fact that Amir has to sleep
missionary
downstairs.
Missionary ass sex, because there ain't not one other position they do other than missionary. And it's so incredibly rude to be that loud when you're in a house full of people, like, and you know they're in there. It's just like incredibly rude. And that's what they do every single night. They go to bed, they go up to their bedroom, and they have sex very loud for everyone to hear. Then we're also seeing Jasmine, Silas's wife. She kind of comes down on Jordan for being content in her singleness. And it's like, Jasmine, just because you are a 25-year-old bride, doesn't mean everybody else needs to be, because you want to be a kept woman so soon. Doesn't mean you got to enforce that desire to be in a relationship on your friends. Like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe that she was kind of trying to make Jordan seem like she was out of it for not wanting to be in a relationship. It's like, girl, what? I mean, I'm honestly kind of, I don't know. Everybody does things different, but I did notice that her and Silas said they had only been dating for like 2 years and now they're married. And they do look young. I don't know how old they are, but I'm gathering they might be 30, who knows, in the early 30s. But you went ahead and just, you know, you found your man and you're like, I'm getting married. But that's not for everybody. Some people want to date longer than 2 years before deciding to walk down the aisle. So you can't just judge one of your friends who's extremely gorgeous and clearly could choose from any guy she wants to try to force her in a relationship where she doesn't want to be. And it was like kind of a highlight, because then I saw something that was taking place offline with, because Preston, that's, you know, he's like everyone's favorite. He is Silas's line brother. And Preston did call Silas controlling and Bria manipulative in the episode. And reiterated that on social media. And Jasmine comes in his comments and goes, you're going to say that about your line brother? And he goes, yes, because two things can be true. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. As a Greek myself, I really hate when I see people who feel like you got to have this blind loyalty to people because you're in the same sorority or fraternity with them, or even if they're just in the D9.
They are people. And right. If I don't agree with you as a person, I don't agree with you as a person. I don't care who you are,
right?
What line, something big, something, that doesn't matter. You can still be wrong because you are a person outside of your letters. So for her, and you can tell she's not Greek because she thinks that, oh, that's your brother. Right. You have to agree. No, right. Silas is a little crazy.
Even when they did the little game and they were like, it's alphas or kappas. And everyone's like, why can't we just pick other names? And he's like, no, because we got to be respectful of the, like, a toga party. Shut up.
I'm just laughing
he's
at some
like,
of them.
You're one of those. And Tanea, we know them very well. Those people that they created their identity from their letters. Because you probably didn't have much of an identity prior to getting your letters. And you wanted to pledge and join a Black fraternity or sorority to get this identity and feel cool on campus. And now you make that all of who you are. And it's honestly extremely cringe and very corny.
I just keep thinking of Summer like, well, I'm Alpha Chi, so
yeah,
why can't I do it? I'm Alpha Chi. And they were looking at her like, crickets.
I'm Alpha Chi, exactly. There's other Greeks out here.
Well, you said Alpha.
They gave her no respect. They were just like, okay.
It's the way that they, even Nick and Alex were looking at her like, what the hell is
Alpha Chi? Who is Alpha Chi?
She was like, oh, so it's sexist. Oh,
listen,
and they were like,
if you are in school with any member of the Divine Nine and you are not in the Divine Nine, it is a bit of a nose turn up to whatever your organization is. We're just be like, you're a what? Sorry, but that's just the fact.
Not my Latino organizations, but mostly the educational ones.
Not the LSUs and the
Alpha Chi? No.
Yeah, we don't know.
An account? I can't be captain?
Yeah, we don't know. Sorry. Sorry, kind of not sorry. What else did you have on your weekly grab? Was that,
that
it?
That is all I have. We can move on
to our piss poor performance.
Yes. And I would like you to go first because mine kind of aligns with yours.
Right.
Kind
of. Okay. Because I'm just, I mean, you've been dragging Marlo every past episode, but I'm adding Sonya and Sheree to the mix. And you know, I interviewed Sonya for this season, but I am just like looking at her this season. And I'm just like, Sonya, you are a disappointment, girl. Because it's bad enough. Like, let's just put it where it's at. You're kind of boring. You're a bit boring. And so it's like for you to you're trying to align with a crew and you're picking the wrong team. It's just like, girl, this was your chance and you chose wrong. So I'm going to have to just have asked you to pack it up. You know, your family is more interesting than you. When it comes to Sheree, you continue to be a flop year after year. It's like she's only able to shine right now because she's the only OG, and it is pretty dismal in regards to just storyline wise this season. But technically, like the three of them that I just mentioned, they have no storyline. And they're like trying to team up and it's to go against Candy and Kenya. And it's coming off completely lame. We done already dragged Marla enough. There's really nothing more to say. I think at this point, everyone can see she is a liability. She is weird. She is obsessed. She is obsessed with Candy and Kenya and them not and them paying her dues. She wants them to be her friends so bad.
Mm.
And they're the losing team. And I think that a big part of the reason why it's so many complaints this season. And I'll leave it at that and I'll let you go into your piss poor bestie.
Because I just also feel like, why are people not talking more about the fact that Sheba Sheree was such a flop?
Right.
Like, that needs to be her story. That would be my storyline. Like, I flopped instead of her trying to say, because you know what I heard? That people are ordering and they're receiving letters from Sheree like, we ain't got it.
Right.
So, like, that would have been a better storyline than you trying to fake it with Martell. But speaking of, I just want to give my piss poor performance to people who are judging by episode 5 the whole season. They have like 12, 13 more episodes to go. Right. I personally don't like when the shows are too like just fight and argue and things. I do want some more lighthearted moments that hopefully comes with them hanging out and actually enjoying each other. But Marlo makes that hard. And I just feel like I cannot give this girl my piss poor performance every week because it's annoying at this time. I just want people to give it a chance. I don't dislike it. I'm still watching every Sunday or Monday if I miss it and I'm busy. I do think there should be some changes for sure. But I just want people to give it a chance. I definitely want Marlo to go because not only does she not have a storyline, but, you know, I watch my speak on it. And Mangetta said it's just fake because when the cameras are off, Marlo is the nicest person.
Mm-hmm.
She be in their faces at their parties. And that I just don't need no more. Like,
yep.
You don't need to show up and be crazy just because you think that's going to sell, because we actually hate you more. I don't care what nobody says about Candy, but why I think she's last is because she's authentic. She's not going to be mad at you because the camera's on. If she don't like you, she don't like you, whether it's on or off. Marlo's just fake, but I just want people to just give it a chance. I don't think they need a reboot. I do think they need a shakeup. I don't think they need to start over, because people keep thinking that Roni had a reboot because of the cast or the ratings. No, they had a reboot because Ramon was racist.
Yep,
allegedly, don't sue me. But yes, give it a chance. It's only episode 5. I think it's gonna get a little bit better. But also, yes, let's get rid of Marlo.
A little better. I think the only thing we have to look forward to, I mean, unfortunately, is the divorce. But even putting it where it's at right now, Drew's not really giving us much. So it's like somebody even said it's like all this girl ever do is just be sick or have an ailment or something. Remember, it's like I broke my ankle, I'm in the hospital, I got it's like it's always something with Drew. Like I said, Sonya's boring. So to me, if it hadn't been for Drew getting a divorce, I would say get rid of Drew, get rid of Sonya. At this point, get rid of Marlo. I don't even want her back as a friend.
Because she don't really have no friends there.
She don't even really have no friends. So it's like, get rid of her. She's very, very weird. You can get, to me, what Courtney shows is you can still get other messy new friends. You know what I mean? Like, you can bring new faces on the show that have a bit of a story to tell, and are fine to stir the pot. And I would like to see that, because even to me, I feel like there's some storyline there that's not even really being tapped into when it comes to Courtney, especially as it relates to like with her husband and his ties with some of the ladies in the industry.
That ain't her husband, that's her baby daddy.
Oh, the baby daddy, right, right. Yeah. That he used to be cute back in the day, but he's not so much anymore. You know, like, I think there's something there, and it shows that she's kind of thirsty for it. So why not tap into that rather than, you know, giving that platform to Marlo? Sheree, you could, I think, keep Sheree around, because I definitely want to see Kim Zolciak come back. And so Kim's going to need Sheree. Like, Sheree's an OG. I think keep Sheree as that OG. I think keep Candy as well. I know, like you said, people complain about Candy, but I like that Candy puts it all on the table, and mm-hmm. she can film with anyone. She can handle it, because she's not, if y'all have a disagreement, she can talk about it. She could put all her family business out there. So I like that. And then as it relates to Kenya, I think she's been, one, Kenya doesn't bite her tongue, but also Kenya's been so a part of the show for so long. We're invested in what she got going on, and she is in a very pivotal point in her life with this divorce, starting dating again, and raising cute Brooklyn. I think that's a good person, like, to bring around, and it still leaves space for them to bring back Kim Zolciak and Portia Williams, which I think needs to happen. So it's like,
I think Portia needs to come back as well.
Yeah, like, get rid of some of the full timers that don't deserve that full time spot, i.e. Sonya. I think we got to still give Drew another chance, because she's going through a divorce.
Unpopular opinion: I think Drew's gonna be better after Ralph. I think Ralph keeps. I just feel like Ralph kind of had like a chokehold on her. I think that once they're divorced and like they start filming again, I think we're going to see a whole new Drew. She might be a little lady lover, allegedly. So I would like to see that.
Oh, yeah, I heard. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, let's keep her. But, you know, for budget reasons, they got to get rid of some people. Sonya can go. Marlo can go. To me, I would say, if that's the case, if they're going to, I mean, they could keep Courtney as a friend. Courtney could be the friend, because she's friends with Sheree anyway. And I see the potential. Courtney is messy, and you need that. Like, the way Marlo always did well as a friend, because she's just messy. I think replace Marlo with Courtney, let Courtney take on that role, and then bring back Kim and Portia. And we got ourselves a good cast.
And give me somebody new. Give me one like new person, like one person who like another like Atlanta person who's from there, raised, and maybe a little younger, to kind of see how they act around it. But I'm interested in just giving more people a chance, because Atlanta is hot. Atlanta, there's a lot of people that they could put on that show that could make or break it, or they all going to Love and Hip Hop. So
yes, which honestly, this new season looks really good. I can't wait to watch it.
We're gonna definitely watch it for next week, because I was like, yep. Oh, y'all done got a lot of new
people. They got it popping. I was like, maybe they needed that switch to MTV, because this season looks good, like the early days of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. So I'm excited. And see, we were nice this week. We didn't do too much dragging.
No, you know, piss poor. You know, we don't want to be too mean, guys.
Not every week.
No.
And on that note, we'll go into our yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but my yes is going to Miss Jordan from Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Yes.
As a lady in her 30s that is single, I think that society has brainwashed us, specifically women of color, to be with somebody for our happiness, to only be measured by us being married, us having a partner, us having kids. I am happily single and healing and loving myself, and my happiness has not come from a partner. It took me a long time to not stop seeking that, and I just was looking at Jasmine's side eye like, how dare you cry or be mad because Jordan is finding herself, especially after a traumatic situationship, which I can relate to, where it's just like shit didn't go right. And you're going to sit here and try to monopolize her and make her feel like something's wrong with her because you want to be married.
Right.
Everybody's goal in life is not to be a wife. Everybody's
goal in life is projecting.
Yes. Because
then we see by the end of the episode, she breaks down because you're hiding some things. You're not really that happy. And you know, you just married a controlling person. And now it's like your identity is tied to being his wife. So.
And that's your problem and not Jordan's. So I applaud you, Jordan, for sticking up for yourself and then questioning Jasmine, like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you like bothering me about this? And then I also think Jordan had a good point. She was like, she doesn't have any married friends because none of her friends are like on her level. And instead of her being comfortable and embracing that, she wants to force somebody to go on a double date with her and Silas controlling ass, which probably wouldn't work. Unless it was another one of his line brothers. But I just want to applaud Jordan for like just sticking up for herself, for not like feeling less than and feeling like she has to compare herself, because Jordan, yeah, you are a fucking queen and you do not need a man if you do not want a man right now. And power to all my beautiful women in their 30s that are just waiting for God to bless them. Yes, Jordan, who's on your list?
I loved it. And this is, again, another example of why Summer House Martha's Vineyard should be watched, because I am going through the tweets onto the Twitters, and I am mostly seeing people that look like me commenting. And it's just like, white people, y'all not watching the show? Y'all ain't got no love for Summer House Martha's Vineyard? Like, this show is good.
It's so
Summer
good.
House, the whitey white version, is trash. This was a snore of a season. The reunion was so drawn out. It really could have just been one episode. It could have even been one little Watch What Happens Live episode like they used to do in the early days of Housewives. It was just not good. So it's like the fact that it's showing like white people really don't really resonate with shows that it has a predominantly cast of color. It's crazy. Because you could see like black people, we watch everything. Like we watch all the other Housewives. We watch the other, you know, we watch Summer House. We watch these shows on Bravo because they're good shows. But when it's the shoe on the other foot, because y'all wasn't even watching Candy in the Gang. And that's why.
Hello, and I thought that the show was good.
I thought Candy in the Gang had
potential. There you want to go.
Right. I thought it had potential for a second season. But the fact that they didn't get one, it's because it's white. Bravo has a predominantly white audience that wasn't tuned in. And then you also have predominantly white executives that don't see the need to try to even push it. Like, okay, let's try to market it better. Let's try, you know, no, don't care. So it gets canceled. But on that note, I'll get into my yes, because my yes is going to Jimbo on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. You know, I had said it before, I didn't catch the Canadian are the world
Canada's Drag Race. Yeah,
so this is my introduction to Jimbo and I'm obsessed. I have been liking her since the beginning, but I like her even more now after just seeing how well she's really doing in the competition by just being true to herself and seeing how it's getting under the other girl's skin so much so that it just resulted in a big huge eruption. I'll leave it at that because we are about to get into our deep dive.
Diving deep.
On Drag Race All-Stars, where we're going to dig into all of that. So, Taneya, give us a rundown of what just happened on All-Stars.
So, we are at that point of the season where we're doing Snatch Game. It has been a staple since season 2. Every season, no matter what country, they will have to do Snatch Game, where you have to impersonate a famous person or just somebody that's not yourself. I think on All Stars, they started doing like the Snatch Game of Love, where they have the girls try to date somebody that's famous. Yep. So we had Heidi, James Mansfield, Jessica Wilde. And Kahana on group one. Kahana was a mess.
Yes, I know.
Not funny. Nothing landed.
Nothing.
And I think because she was emotional about not doing good, she couldn't see what Heidi was trying to do.
No, I don't see that Heidi was trying to throw her a bone to catch. It seemed like Heidi was definitely trying to kick her while she was down. It wasn't even coming off like funny shade. It was coming off as shady shade. Mm. But also, too, Heidi's jokes wasn't landing either.
Right. And nobody was calling her out. And I feel like, like Heidi wasn't really feeling herself this, like, since she's been
this entire season.
Yeah. I don't think so. Jimbo killed. Jimbo murdered. I actually didn't mind Candy's Renee just because she just was herself, but I could see a little bit of Renee from Mob Wives. But of course, Jimbo killed it. He won. But while they're getting ready for the main stage, Kahana calls out Heidi like, you were trying to make jokes about me not being funny. I felt like you were coming for me and I don't know why. And then, you know, Heidi was like, I did not mean to do that. I don't appreciate, like, it wasn't my intention. I apologize. And of course, there's been some whispers about Candy talking shit about people. Mm-hmm. And so when Candy brings it up, like, well, now since we talking, Heidi, I heard that you was telling them that I'm going to vote Jimbo out, which going to your yes, it's like, Jimbo not going to be in the bottom no time soon. I die. Right. Unless it's a dance challenge, because our girl is rhythmically yes. challenged. But
yes.
So Heidi just feels like she can't do it and she quits. So
well,
how do we feel about
that? You're okay. So Candy calls out Heidi. Heidi then says she heard Candy talking and saying these things that she was going to vote Jimbo out. Ask Alexis for backup. And Alexis just like said, like, Alexis confused the hell out of me. Alexis is nodding yes. And she's saying, yes, I heard Candy say that. And then Candy was like, Alexis, you heard me say. And Alexis is like, no, I didn't hear you say that. Like, wait, girl, what is it? Mm. You just said both. And that's what pissed Heidi off and sent her over the edge. Because now at that point, she looks like the bad guy. She looks like she's like saying these things that weren't said, when in all actuality, honestly, what I got from it, Candy did say that, because Alexis scary ass changed. Like you didn't stand on it. You first said Candy said that, then you said she didn't say it. So which one is it? And until that comes out, which I think it's going to come out, Heidi won't be vindicated. But in the end, it's like it was a lot on her. Like Tanae was saying, I agree. I do think that Heidi wasn't fully feeling herself this season. And I think with that last incident, it was just like, that's it. I'm done. If her only mission was to come in and have a kiki and just prove how she improved, then that's why you were not meant to win. And you were not going to win this competition, because you didn't come in it with the right mindset. And the fact that you went out of All Stars with your last look being a jackass. Sorry. Like, it just says everything. It says everything.
I never even thought about that.
Her last look is that damn donkey.
That Eeyore. Like,
literally, that's her last look. And back to what, because isn't this ironic that all of this is coming out when I was just saying what I was saying about Candy? I was like, something about Candy is rubbing me wrong. Like, I could peep that she's being a messy queen. And she was from the beginning. It's like, you had an alliance. She had an alliance with, wasn't it with, who was the one she was on tour with?
Jimbo and Heidi was supposed to be
exactly.
on an alliance.
Exactly. It's supposed to be the three of them. So it's like, how is Candy in the middle of kind of bringing them down when, in all actuality, Heidi was still being loyal to their alliance by going back and telling Jimbo, yo, Candy said this.
I also think words and verbiage is very important, because it's like, did Candy say, I'm going to vote out Jimbo because as soon as she's in the bottom, or Jimbo is competition? You know what I'm saying? And right. I feel like hindsight is 2020. I think verbiage is very important, but I just think from Heidi not getting like the instant praise, and then like All Stars is always a different right. competition, no matter who goes. I feel like her mind was not even fully in it, because she was talking about quitting because she didn't win. So I feel like anything that could have happened, Heidi was not going to make it to the end. I think I think any competition reality series, you got to be mentally and emotionally prepared. And it seems like she just recently lost her grandmother. So maybe she wasn't in it and, you know, just not mentally there. So that's why it's like, I'm not going to judge her. But I just personally, I watched the challenge with TJ, you know, he made me feel that way about quitters and like,
yeah,
it's one thing.
I honestly think it's whack that she quit. I really do.
I think it's whack, because I was watching the pit stop and Bianca Del Rio, the host, was like, I was actually rooting for Heidi. I saw Heidi in the top if she would have just been patient and focused on the game, because it's not about fucking friends. Fuck what they think you said, Heidi.
Even though I wasn't feeling her looks, I thought Heidi was still going to make it towards the end because of just her, Heidi being Heidi, her personality and everything. So her leaving and bowing out, I mean, we weren't surprised that no one went home, because that's what I expected since Heidi sacrificed herself. But I don't want it to be where she takes it like that. Like, oh, I sacrificed myself for y'all. No, you bowed out because you couldn't handle the heat. And the fact that you was going around stirring the pot by even telling Jimbo this and that, So then now when shit hits the fan, you want to be like, I quit, I quit. And she really quit. Like, she really was
out. Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Like, I can't. And that was the thing. Why did you have to tell anybody what Candy said to you if that was your good sis? That wasn't your place. You could have saved that ammo for when somebody was in the, when Candy was in the bottom. That's what it been me.
That,
if it was between you and Candy, if you was a real game player.
Candy would have came for her. And then Jimbo let that bomb off. She would have been fully justified, like, cause I guess could have saw that happening. Candy comes for Heidi, and Heidi goes, but hold up, but you over here not being true to our alliance by saying that she was gonna vote Jimbo out. Then that's how you do that. But you were already stirring the pot too. So technically, Jimbo was the only one being loyal, like a true Canadian, and Candy and Heidi were already going against their alliance. And it all blew up.
Jimbo was like, this is what I heard. This is what I know. I don't know anything else. And you know what's going to be crazy? When Jimbo take that W and people start hating like she's Canadian, it don't give a damn. It don't give a damn, yeah, okay? No. Jimbo's definitely making it to the top three. And unless it's a lip sync challenge, she's going to take it home.
Yes, justice for the internationals, because I still root for, who's our girl from London? She was on All Stars. Vivian.
Oh, the Vivian?
The Vivian.
Yeah, she won her season, but she didn't win.
I'm rooting for Vivian to win because she is a beast in all the right ways.
Snatched. Beautiful, yes. Pretty, yes. Funny as hell. Her Trump is like one of the funniest Trumps I've ever seen.
The funniest one.
Yes, and that's why I really want to go to like a UK show. Maybe we go to London, I'll see if they have a show.
Yeah, I
really
want
to go see some drag.
So they're trying to fit everything into the 2 days we're going to be there.
It's 4 days and I'm going to do everything.
It's definitely not gonna happen, but whatever. But yeah, so on that note, let's get to close out our show with some positivity.
Because we need it in this world of quitting shows.
What you got, bestie?
Mine is, since I don't look like every other girl, it takes a while to be okay with that, to be different. But different is good. And I read this by Serena Williams, and it hit me. So be different, ladies. It's okay. Yours?
Well, I got, don't compare your life to others. There's no comparison between the sun and the moon. They shine when it's their time.
You hear that, Jasmine?
Right. Okay, what's your missionary sex?
Loud right. Missionary and, sex.
And on that note, our slogan is
love, abundance, and real hair bundles.
Yes.
That are actually not synthetic.
All right, see you guys next week.
Have a good one, guys.